All right, and welcome to the Blacklist Sessions. It's a new episode, and I'm really excited today because we have a great guest, Charles Fairley. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jay. How are you going?
Yeah, really well. So you're a very interesting guy, and you've done a lot of interesting things. So I was really keen to have a chat about your book, The Unsung Business Heroes.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's been a very exciting project.
Yeah, so be keen to hear about some of the stories, because obviously you travel a lot to meet these people. So, yeah, I guess just tell us a bit about the book.
Sure. Well, there's two books now. So, we've had series one and two over the last few years, and it's 50 Unsung Business Heroes. So, it's 50 stories of people who you've never really heard of. So, it's not about, you know, Mark Burris and John McGrath and Janine Alice. It's not about those guys we see all the time in the media. It's about the stories behind the scenes that you haven't heard about that are really the uncovered gems that, you know, people can really learn a lot from, but they've never seen before.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a lot of folks out there that, you know, don't sort of get the media recognition, but, you know, they just do their thing.
Absolutely. Yes. They're working hard in the background, and they've been maybe doing it for 10 or 20 years, and their business is their whole life, and they don't have the resources and they don't have the time to sort of market themselves or share their story even. But when you start interviewing them and uncovering some of that stuff, you really do find some magnificent stories, and some of them are really inspiring, actually.
Yeah, you would, for sure. So I'd be keen to hear about some of those stories. What are some of those that really stand out to you as being the most inspiring?
Well, in our first book, there was a guy called Martin Morris who comes from up on the Gold Coast, and he's been in the insurance business for 30 years. And when you meet him, he's got the three-piece suit and the red tie on, the classic sort of image. But he actually grew up as a teenage runaway. He slept under bridges. He joined bikie gangs. He used to steal from the back of pubs, and had this completely opposite existence to what you'd expect. But he managed to find a mentor when he was in his late teens and turn his life around and got a job and became very successful. He was in one of the top 30 insurance salesmen in the world. He's got numerous awards for business, and you just look at him today and you wouldn't think of that of him at all. So that's a real extreme case, but it just shows you, you know, people can turn their life around from the real depths and become successful.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Because there seems to be a few of those stories out there of people that have come from a really difficult background, and that's kind of been the thing that's really driven them to get success. Is that like a common theme that you've seen in a lot of those business heroes?
Yeah, a lot of them. And often it's not until they get into the workforce that they realize how the world works and, you know, how they can make a business out of something that they thought maybe just a hobby or a passion. But even some of them have said to me, look, I hated school, never thought I'd do any good, everyone put me down because my results were bad. But when I saw how, you know, my friends or my family had a business, and or I found a mentor that took me under their wing, and I could see that there was something I could provide and start a business. You know, a lot of them started in their early 20s from scratch, and now they might be 20 years later in their 40s or 50s, and they've got a multi-million dollar business on their hands that you would never expect.
Yeah, it's awesome, hey. And that's the thing I think about school. Like, it's as broad as school's meant to be, it's a very specific skill set, and it's a certain type of person that seems to do quite well at school.
Yes.
But to achieve that success in business, it's not really something that you need to absolutely ace. If you can develop skills elsewhere that people really need, you know, like that's a great path to success.
Absolutely, yeah. But the one thing they all have in common is their passion. You know, they're all totally dedicated to what they're doing. Their business is like another child to them that they're just totally focused and dedicated to. But yeah, there's so many great stories out there. I think one thing I have learned is that everyone does have some sort of story in their background, and really to sit down with them, it's hard to get them to open up. But once they do, then there's some really gorgeous, inspiring, wonderful stories that people can share. And to me, that's why I wanted to do this whole project, was to let other people know that they weren't alone in their challenges or their grief that they're going through, or their, you know, that their situation wasn't unique to them, that other people had gone through and jumped those hurdles and made a difference and come out the other side. So, you know, it's not a matter of being out there alone. There's lots to learn from other people.
Yeah, well, that's what I think one of the most fantastic things about the internet is you can connect with people all over the world and develop those communities of people that are going through similar struggles. And I think that's been a fantastic thing, especially for entrepreneurs, because it's very easy to get knockbacks and get discouraged for a lot of people. And it's the same in the music industry. Because I do a lot of work there, obviously.
Sure.
You know, it's very easy to get discouraged. So having a great community community around you, I feel is something that's so important and can be really beneficial to a lot of people that, you know, they need that accountability and a little bit extra support to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone's happy to share because they want to help other people generally, which I think is one of the things that came out in my books as well, was that people want to give back, whether that's through charity donations or just giving their time and helping other people learn through their efforts. Yeah, everyone likes to give back and leave a legacy because I think we're all here to do something rather than just have a life and then disappear when we pass on.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, it all comes down to how you look at the world, I guess. And a lot of people, you know, they take a real nihilistic approach and they're like, oh, well, you know, what's the point? But, you know, it's not much of a way to live your life, is it really? You know, it's much better to, you know, at least have a purpose and work towards something.
Yeah, that's a key word, I think. That's why I call the business purpose publishing, because to have that purpose and know what your why factor is, as Simon Sinek talks about the why factor, everyone has to have a why they're doing what they're doing. Before they figure out the what and the how and the when, they need to have that why already established, I think. And that really is what drives a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that's a really fantastic point. And that's something when people ask me for advice, like within the music industry, like up and coming artists, you know, some people, they have the right reasons. Some people, they have maybe not the wrong reasons, but different reasons.
Sure.
And, you know, I do ask them that sometimes. Like, it really is the why. You know, why are you doing it? Are you doing it just because you want to be famous? Or, you know, do you want the notoriety? Or, you know, do you want to create change in the world? Do you want to make the world better? And I think, you know, if you can really knuckle down on that why and make it so powerful that it drives you every day to just work on your vision, then that's a great thing.
Yeah, because you then jump out of bed looking forward to the day you're going to achieve something towards that purpose. You know, it really does drive people and turn what could be a very boring job or business into something that they really love and become part of the community, as you said, that community that's really important.
Yeah, and I think that is the crucial part. Like, you really have to love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, there's if you're working a job that you hate and you just, or even just find average, like, if you do that for like 30, 40 years,
sure,
it's not a very fulfilling life.
No, it comes through too. So, your results and what you achieve are obviously tainted by that hate that you have for that job. So, to find something you really love means that you're going to be doing something that you're good at.
Yes.
And get a better result.
Definitely. So, what was your journey to becoming an author? How did you find that that was the thing that you really loved to do?
Yeah, good question, Jay. I guess my background, straight out of uni, I did a commerce degree at New South Wales and then went into media sales. So, I worked for magazines and then I got a job at Today FM doing advertising sales before it was owned by Austereo. And then I worked at Channel 9 after that. And so, I've always been around the media, but I guess what I saw was how content was produced and how that worked in the demand sense for, you know, what the audience wanted. And one of my later jobs was at AAP, and that was something that's been in the news lately, AAP closing down. That was all about content again and how the newswire distributed press releases and marketing and product information. And so my whole background's been around stories and sharing those stories and how to disseminate them out to the public. And I guess that sort of got overlaid by my dad's own story as well. So, there were sort of two directions coming to forge this situation where I am now. My dad had a business. They had about 40 staff and it ran for 30, 40 years up on the Central Coast. And so, when he retired, and he passed away nearly 2 years ago, but when he retired, I thought, gee, that's a shame. There's no record of the achievements and what he did and the accomplishments, and he was a bit of a pioneer in fiberglass boat building, and so I thought, wouldn't it be great to write a book about it? But there probably wasn't a whole book in it. So I thought, well, let's put 50 people into one book and they all get the benefit of being published, seem to be authors, or at least their story and their interview being published. And so, it's a bit of an economies of scale where they all contribute a little bit of money, but they get a quantity of books and a video and a podcast, and they get their photography done, all at very reasonable rates because I'm splitting it across 50 people. So, yeah, it's a bit of a win-win in that sense, and a little business that I developed as a passion project along the way, which has been fun.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, it's really funny how businesses kind of turn out, you know. Sometimes it's not what you expect, and then all of a sudden you get a great idea and it kind of just grows from there.
Yeah.
So, I guess What was the next question I was going to ask? So, we've talked about familiar threads and we've talked about how you got into business. So, what are some of the challenges, I think, that you've had when you've been running the business and trying to get this all off the ground?
Sure. There's been a fair few of those.
Yeah.
Obviously, cash flow is one issue that people have to be mindful of. So, you need to have some sort of plan around that. So, with mine, I realized that it was going to be very much a big spike of income, mm-hmm. But I needed to cover costs. So, what I did was a deposit up front and split the payment into three. So, it sort of smoothed out the cash flow issues across the longer time frame, which seemed to work quite well. But I also work from home, so there's challenges there in just keeping motivated and keeping focused and, dedicating enough time so that the wife gets the balance of me, being helpful around the home, but at the same time I get a little bit of privacy and work time. That's obviously something that everyone needs to do. So, I guess the positive out of working from home is that you can work all hours, and you can stop for a dinner break and then duck back in and do some more emails. Or when we have a really big deadline coming up, I was working probably 3 or 4 weeks in a row till midnight to get the book ready for print. You can be pretty flexible when you work from home, which is a nice thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think that's one of the common threads that I've uncovered when talking to a lot of different business folks is, there's the flexibility to, go and have lunch, do whatever you like. But when it comes to crunch time, you've got to put those hours in. And it's a very similar story for music videos. They've got an entire release plan worked out and the single's got to come out at this time. The video has to come out at this time. So, you just have to be on top of it and do what needs to be done.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that deadline, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
Great. So, when you were researching for this book, what were some of the different folks that you were looking at getting into the book? Like, what were you looking for in a business owner?
I guess one of the key things was that they had to be the owner, not just a CEO who is an employee.
Yep.
Because then they've really got, as they say, skin in the game. It's their baby. And for me, that was important because I didn't want a book to come out and 3 or 4 of the CEOs might have left if they were just employees when the book comes out, because it's quite a long time frame for a book. And also we have the digital stuff, so we also do video podcasts, as I mentioned. And so I wanted that to have longevity and be relevant for people. So yeah, I look for people who own the business. They're the business founder generally. We talk to guys and girls. We talked to people in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane mainly, but other states too. We had a guy from Darwin in the current book, the book number 2. He was a fantastic guy. He's just so motivated and passionate about his business. He runs a not-for-profit up in Darwin, which helps people with disabilities actually get in the workforce, which is such a great thing to be doing. He's got 100 staff, and they all have different degrees of disabilities, but he trains them up, and if they get to a point where they can work in mainstream employment, he'll help them find a job. And it's just a great business. Been going for 50 years, that business. It's called HPA, which originally was Handicapped People's Association, but he tweaked that and gave it a lot more emotion and meaning by calling it Helping People Achieve.
Yeah, that's great.
Just awesome, yeah. He's such a great guy. Tony Burns, look him up. He's based up in Darwin.
Tony Burns in Darwin. Oh, well, hopefully he listens to this.
Yeah, never know.
Yeah, so what's some of the craziest places you've ever travelled to go meet a business owner? You mentioned like the capital cities in Darwin. Is there anywhere else that's kind of off the beaten track where you've gone to meet anyone?
Yeah, big time. We went last year. I took the video guy down to regional Victoria, and we did a story on a company that makes truck trailers. So they're 4 hours east of Melbourne. So you can't drive from Sydney, you can't really fly from Canberra or anything. We had to drive from Melbourne, 4 hours there.
Yep.
Did the interview. So that was another 4 hours roughly. Turn around and drive back. So it was a whole day. We got on the first plane out of Sydney and we got on the last plane out of Melbourne to come home. So that was a pretty challenging day, but fantastic people. And of course, when you're dealing with people in the country, they're very generous and welcoming and wanted us to stay for lunch and all that sort of stuff. So it was a fantastic day. We loved it.
Yeah, well, that's really such a great part of the experience. And, I think for myself, like, travel's one of my favorite parts of the music video business and all of that creation. When we shot with Lee Kernaghan, we went out to a place called Louth, which is way, way, way out western New South Wales, yeah, past Cobar.
Wow.
And we flew out there. Lee chartered a plane, so it's a little bit quicker than driving. Sure. I had done that drive before.
Really?
Yeah, wow. It's a long way. But I just love getting out and being able to see the country and just like capture these places that you would never see unless you actually traveled out there, you know? There's nothing like it.
And the people are beautiful. You know, they're so welcoming, like I said. They're very generous with their time and very genuine, very authentic, and they just want to help you, which is so lovely.
Definitely, I love that about the regional folks.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, it seems to be really common. Like, everyone's just so friendly and so willing to help and pitch in.
Yeah, yeah. Because you focus a bit on country music, is that right, Jay?
Yeah, yeah. Mainly focus on country.
Okay. And so, you'd be doing a lot of stuff in regional areas, I guess?
Heaps. you know, we travel a lot. You know, we do a lot in the city as well. Like, we just had one last week right in our Angel Place in the CBD, so that was cool.
Yeah.
But the places we've travelled to shoot videos, we've gone all the way over to Western Australia, South Australia.
Wow.
I think the only place that we haven't shot a video in yet is the Northern Territory. So, you know, I wouldn't mind getting up there one day.
Yeah, absolutely. We were lucky that the Darwin businessman we interviewed came down to Sydney for us, so that worked better for us.
That's very handy.
Yeah.
So what's kind of the range of money? Like, you have obviously like a couple of different books, so you've interviewed over 100 different business owners.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of ranges are we talking of, like, turnover for these businesses?
Ah, well, it ranges from a couple hundred thousand with one or two people, but in the top end, there was a guy, David Dicker, in our first book, has a computer hardware company called Dicker Data in Kurnell in Sydney, and his business turns over $1.2 billion.
Wow.
Just in computer gear. Yeah, massive. But he's been going for 37 years. And, you know, one of the key things he highlighted was what he called stickability, right? Which is just persistence. He said, just stay in what you're doing, because eventually you'll become successful. Even though it's a struggle to start, if you just stay in it, he believes that there's 100% guarantee you're going to be successful. So that was really interesting. He doesn't have any kids, so his business was his
baby. That was his
literally
kid.
Was his baby. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. So what's kind of the process? Because he started the business a long time ago. How do you go from starting to turning over $1 billion in revenue?
Yeah, well, he's had a few challenges along the way, I'd imagine. So he was very good at networking. He's very good at reaching out and creating relationships where he'd be supplying big corporates and that sort of thing. So he's built a team. He's got something like 400 staff out there now. So you can imagine it's a massive business now. It's partially listed on the stock exchange. Mm-hmm. I think he owns 8 Ferraris. He's got a house in Italy and so on. You know, it's just his big passion is cars. So he loves it. He bought a racetrack in New Zealand recently. So he's doing really well for himself. He's enjoying the fruits of his hard work for sure.
Yeah, oh, that's great. It's great to hear. And, you know, to be able to employ that many people is fantastic.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Another guy actually who's got a business similar sort of scale, a guy called Ted Egan, who's in our second book. And he came from out the back of Bourke, literally on a sheep station.
Yep.
He joined the Navy when he was like 15, went into submarines and so forth for 10 years. But about 15 years ago, he got into software and created an algorithm for banks to detect fraud. So, and they just sold that business about 18 months ago for $830 million.
It's a pretty substantial amount of money.
Started in his spare bedroom. Him and his partner just nailed themselves to that business and they just made it work. And a fantastic result for them.
Yeah, it really is. It's so incredible, like, what you can do just from a garage. Like, Amazon was a garage company.
Exactly.
Apple was a garage company. There's so many of them. I think even Microsoft, like Bill Gates, all started from a garage. And now, more than ever, like, with the internet, it's so much easier to get the word out there and create those connections with people and just make people aware of the idea. And I think that's been, I think, one of my most favorite developments over the last probably 20 years. Years or so is the use of the internet.
Oh yeah, like if you get a problem, you just Google it, right? You just say, I need to solve this problem. And if it's not on Google, there's people who you can ask about it. And as you said earlier, to have that community of business advisors around you. And a lot of people are doing, which is also another theme that came out of the book, was a lot of people are having an advisory board. It's not a full-on board of directors, but it's a group of people who they can talk to, maybe meet once a month, and they all share each other's issues and help get get across those challenges that all businesses face, of course. So
yeah, well, that's it. It's so great that people can just pool their collective knowledge together to learn, because you know, there's no point like 100 people making the same mistake when you know, if the knowledge is already out there and you know those 100 people can avoid that mistake, then it just leads to so much better productivity and just better results for the entire country.
Yeah, yeah, and there's always new apps being developed, so we have to learn about these new things through some method, and so it's the people who've got their finger on the pulse that can share that information. And so things like LinkedIn are really interesting, you know, going to a lot of networking meetings, that sort of thing, because you hear about this stuff as you go around.
Yeah, awesome. So one thing I wanted to ask you about was basically along those lines of, how did you get the word out about the book? So you've interviewed these people. How do you let the world know that you've got this great book?
Well, because it's B2B and it's all business-oriented, we do a lot on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So, I've got 10,000 first connections myself, and we've got a page on LinkedIn, also Facebook, obviously, and Instagram. But it's really just being out there and doing the postings and going to events and, you know, networking with people. And, you know, you can find people who've got big networks that are happy to give you a bit of a piggyback as well. So, if you interview people with big networks, then they're going to share your stuff, right? So it all snowballs out of that, I guess.
Yeah.
But the whole book concept, when I started, I didn't want to have a reliance on retail. I didn't want to have to sell books at the shops, because the shops have got their own challenges, and books as well have their own challenges with Kindle and ebooks and that sort of thing. Mm. So my idea was to pre-sell all the books to the people that I interview. So the 50 people in each book get 200 books each, and that's 10,000 books in total. So you get quite a good print run out of it. So the unit price is quite cheap to print the books, but you've got this automatic network of distribution. So the 50 people are giving it out to their prospects or their clients, and you know, whether they have events, they might sell the books or whatever, but they're distributing it to their networks. And that to me was the key way to distribute it, rather than put it out at retail and get returns in 6 months and, you know, have to refund bookstores, and that would just have been a nightmare.
Yeah, it seems like a really good approach, you know, that it's that real word of mouth kind of thing, you know. Yeah. You've got all these people out there that are, you know, like helping you and helping themselves.
Sure, sure. And the other thing is that people give out corporate gifts. So at Christmas, they might give out a bottle of red wine or a food hamper or even a bunch of flowers if it's something special. But with a book, you give that out to someone and it stays around forever, rather than those sort of consumable things that only last a week or two. Yeah. So the book is a really great value gift. It highlights 50 inspiring stories. People get a lot out of it, rather than just the box of chocolates.
Yeah. A gift with value.
Exactly.
That lasts longer than 2 seconds.
Yeah. And it's a nice thing for me to be leaving the legacy as well, because those books will be around forever.
Yeah, for sure. So, I guess on that topic, like, there's a lot of distractions in this world. Like, there's the internet, there's videos, there's music, and there's so many things trying to grab our attention. Why do you think it is that books have remained so successful and really popular, even in an era where everything is trying to grab your attention?
Yeah, I know. Well, they said, you know, when ebooks came along, they said, oh, books are going to disappear, just like they did. They said the cinema is going to disappear when everyone got a television. But I think the market adapts, and, you know, there's still a room for cinema, there's still room for books. People like the tactile feel of a book and opening and turning the page, or maybe they'll like to read it when they're in bed at night or on a plane or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think there's definitely still space for books, but the volume of books in business would have dropped off, I'd imagine, in the last 10 to 15 years with the advent of digital. But I kind of like to do things counterintuitively myself, and I thought, well, if no one's doing books, if I do a book, it'll be one of the few ones out there, so therefore there's going to be more demand for it. So,
yeah, well, that's right. When everyone else zigs, you zag.
Exactly, exactly. And I think there's a lot to be said for that too, because that way you stand out, right?
Well, that's so true. And like, if you think about, say, like Tesla's entire marketing strategy,
sure,
like they brought out the Cybertruck and it was like nothing anyone had ever seen, and it got the entire world talking. Like, so many people are aware of that product now just from making it so different to everything else that was on the market.
Absolutely, yeah. It really stood out, didn't it?
Yeah,
it looked like something out of the 22nd century.
I know. Geez, I want one.
Yeah, they look cool, don't they?
Because it is. It's just so out there. It's so different. I think that's what really draws it like draws me to the Cybertruck.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Everyone wants to have the best technology and the latest design. So, if you can add that value into your business, then you'll have a big demand for it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's say there's a lot of people that want to start their businesses that listen to this podcast or are looking for tips and they're just starting. What would you say to, I guess, in the authoring space, like if someone wants to be a successful author and they want to start their business and write books, what advice would you give them?
Well, I think it goes back to that why again. The why has to be really substantial and defined. I think if you're going to write a book, you really need to plan it out. Do like a skeleton of the chapter content, maybe headlines, that sort of thing. So it's not just a matter of sitting down and starting to write. If you do that, it'll just become a scramble, you know, just be a mess. So you've really got to have a structure to it because people want to be able to get something from a book with structure and they can benefit from that. So there's a lot of stuff on the internet, again, we talked about. You know, if you don't know how to do it, you can Google it. So I would say to people, if you want to write a book, don't expect to sell any massive copies unless you are, you know, the Anthony Robbins and the Simon Sinek's of the world.
Yep.
So a lot of people do publish a book just to create a profile for themselves and they can add author to their title on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. But it also helps them build their profile. And if their business relies on them being out there and speaking at events, then the book can be a great thing to open the door and say, look, I'm a published author. Here's my book. It's available at X, Y, and Z retail or on my website. They can give them away as gifts to open the conversations. So it gives people a lot of credibility, definitely. But I guess for me, the people that I've interviewed didn't have time to write their own books, but they still had something to share. They still had a story to tell. And so the book that I created was a means for them to get their story out there without all the hard work and the expense and all that risk that goes around publishing a book yourself. You know, there's a lot of risk about how do I get it to be professional? How do I print it? Where do I do it? How many do I print?
Yep.
You know, how do I distribute it? Retail? There's so many questions that the general populace out there just don't have a clue about. So to offer this service, that they got all those benefits and also being part of that community of unsung business heroes, that was what appealed to in my mind. That's what was going to drive people to it. Yeah,
awesome. So there was that, and you also you used a lot of different channels of distribution for the message as well, like you said, video podcasts and different things like that.
Our video YouTube channels had nearly 30,000 views, so we've got about 100 videos on there, and they're mainly 5-minute sort of snapshots of the people, so everyone can get a taste of the story. And we're on Podcast One, which is a big platform as well. So we've got about 18 or 20 videos up there, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So I'm really excited because Charles and I have come up with a bit of a giveaway. So for the first 10 people that can send me a message, either, you know, Facebook, Instagram, email, if you just email info@blacklistproductions.com.au, the first 10 people that get in contact with me will actually get a copy of 50 Unsung Business Heroes. So if this is something that you'd be after, I'm sure there's some incredible stories in here, then get in contact pretty quick because I have a feeling that this is going to go pretty fast.
Thanks, Jay. Yeah, it's a good book. It's a coffee table size. It's pretty heavy. It's over a kilo. So there's 50 stories, all different chapters. Each person's got a chapter themselves, and then we have their QR codes to link up to their websites and also to our site online, where you can also see their story on our site, which is unsungbusinessheroes.com.au.
Awesome. Fantastic. So people can get in contact with you through the website. How else can they get in contact with you?
I'm happy to link up on LinkedIn, so just on my personal LinkedIn. Also, Messenger on Facebook. We've got a page on Facebook, Unsung Business Heroes. It's building a community, so I'm more than happy to, if people want to reach out to me, that's great. I'd love to learn more about their business and what they do and see if we can help each other.
Great. So, yep, type in Unsung Business Heroes on Google. You can Google it, and I guess that'll get you on the right track.
That's the way. That's the way. Thanks so much, Jay.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great to chat to you and have a listen to some of the great stories that you've got in the book. And, I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, man. I really appreciate you giving me the time and helping me out. That's what it's all all about, helping each other, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yep. So, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Blacklist Sessions. We've got so many more great episodes coming up. Lots of interesting people from different walks of life. Entrepreneurs, authors, musicians, everything you can think of. Well, not everything. I'm sure you can think of a lot of crazy things, but you just never know what you're going to get on this podcast. So, stay tuned.